At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, the Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. Thank you so much for joining us. One of the most controversial topics today is LGBT, and specifically whether counselors should be allowed to help minors embrace heterosexual norms. The city of Louisville recently passed a ban on what is known as conversion therapy. Joining us now to talk further is Daniel Mingo of Abba's Delight, an ex-gay ministry based in Louisville, Kentucky. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Richard. So glad to be here today.
Well, and I appreciate you joining us, especially as we talk about a challenging topic, one that many people, I think, have mischaracterized conversion therapy. I understand that there's a range of the different types of therapies. But before we get into that, if you could tell us a little bit about the ministry of Abba's Delight, maybe tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved with that ministry.
Richard, I lived a secret life in homosexuality for about 30 years. Never wanted to be gay, never wanted to adopt a gay lifestyle. The attractions that I had to men were unwanted. And so I realized what I was dealing with was a sexual addiction in that I was hooking up with men anonymously, and I did that for close to 30 years. Tried to stop, and I just felt like I couldn't stop. So I went into recovery for sexual addiction in 1993. It's 27 years ago. And about 10 years into my recovery process, the Lord laid it on my heart that He wanted to put me in a ministry because there are other men coming behind me who need to know God's redemptive power in the homosexual's life. So I went into ministry at first as a branch manager here in Louisville for a ministry that was based in Lexington. And then 4.5 years into that, I resigned my position, and the Lord laid on my heart to start a new ministry based here in Louisville, and it's called Abba's Delight. And I've been doing that ministry now since 2008, so we're in our 13th year. And it's a ministry to born again Christians who are troubled by unwanted same-gender attractions, unwanted gender dysphoria, and we help them live a life of purity. They've already been convicted by the Holy Spirit that if they've given in to those attractions and have had sexual encounters with other people, that those actions are contrary to God's established design for biblical sexual expression. And so we help them live a life of purity in the Lord. Basically, for the Christian, it's just being discipled in how to live a life closer to Jesus in purity, whether they're single or married.
That's good. At any point during your journey, did you believe that you were, you know, one of the common things we hear today is born that way? Did you believe that you were, that's the way God made you, and that you shouldn't fight against that same-sex attraction or same-sex impulse? But many people are told today, young people especially, are told that you're born that way and it's okay. You shouldn't deny that part of your humanity.
I never did believe that. I got born again at 17, so most of my acting out time was after I was already born again. So after I got born again, I began getting familiar with the scriptures and saw that the word says God created them male and female. And then I found scriptures in there about homosexual behavior and how it was against God's will. Well, it's not even logical to think that if God made somebody gay, then He would come along later and say, well, you can't do that. So it just didn't. And on top of that, the science doesn't even prove it. There has never been a gay gene proven. All of the reputable scientists who were proposing gay gene theories in the 90s all backed away from that. In 2007, the American Psychological Association backed off of their pushing the gay gene theory. And then in 2016, the American Psychological Association finally came out and said, nobody's born gay.
Wow.
But you don't hear that in the mainstream media. And you won't, because they want to keep pushing that people are born gay. Because if they say, if they change their mind about people are born gay, then that means that change is possible. And some of them don't want to change. And for a lot of them, their efforts to change and not live a gay life have failed for them.
You know, since the science has been debunked, saying that there's a gay gene, or saying that some humans are hardwired for same-sex attraction or same-sex relationships, that also does away with the idea of free will. If there is no choice in the matter, that you're just born that way, there's no choice for free will. And I think that's an important point for believers to step in and to talk about that. And not just free will, but us human beings as free moral agents, that we do have choices, and then also that there are different results with those choices. But today there seems to be very little room for discussion regarding that.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought up the whole thing of choice. You know, do you have a choice about being gay or not? Well, I think the answer is yes and no. Nobody chooses to be same-sex attracted. Did not choose to be attracted to the same sex. Now, given the fact that I was not born that way, only leaves the option for environmental factors. There were several environmental factors in my life that ushered me down this road to same-sex attraction. And those attractions are unwanted for me and for most people who come to us as in for ministry. The choice comes in determining whether you're going to act on those attractions or not. While I may not choose to be attracted to a man, I certainly have a choice and the free will to determine if I'm going to hook up with that man or not. So while the attractions themselves may not be a choice, I do have a choice as to whether I'm going to give in to those attractions or not. And for me, as a Christian, giving in to those attractions goes against God's plan for biblical sexual expression.
Yeah, very good. Daniel, since we're going down this path, I want to go just a step further, and then I want to come back to conversion therapy.
Okay.
But there are some Christians today, prominent Christians today, who are saying that you can still have a gay identity and be a Bible-believing Christian. There are some who are saying you can be a gay Christian, but I understand this as being they're maintaining their gay identity without acting on it, without they're living monogamously, but they're still identifying as a gay Christian. Is that possible?
Well, it's possible for them to say they are, and there's actually two camps there. There's a camp that says God's okay with me being gay, and I will identify as gay, but like you said, I'm going to remain celibate, or I'm going to remain celibate. And those are the ones who believe that God wants them to be single because he doesn't condone gay relationships. So for them, that side, the attractions are okay. It's okay to label myself as gay, but I'm going to remain celibate. Then there's the other side that says, God's okay with me being gay. He's okay with me identifying as gay. And he's not okay with me being in a gay relationship. In order to justify that position, they have twisted what the scriptures say about homosexuality and have determined that it says things that it doesn't really say in the original language. I wrote a paper on this. I published a monthly newsletter that I send out by email for the ministry Abba's Delight. You can find it at abbasdelight.com. This was in, I think it was May or July of 2015. And I called it, I Am Not a Gay Christian. And the premise of that paper was, when I became a born-again Christian, my identity is in Christ. why would I want to take on any other identity other than the one he's given me? Because you don't hear Christians going around saying, I'm an alcoholic Christian. I'm a backbiting Christian. I'm a whatever Christian. We are Christians, and we don't need any modifiers. We don't need any descriptors other than born again, son and daughter of God.
Yeah, Daniel, I appreciate you bringing that out, because regardless of our sin, regardless of our background, regardless of what used to entangle us and chain us, when you have come to faith in Christ, you're a new creation.
Yes.
You're no longer identified by your past sins and failures and brokenness, but you have a new identity in Christ. And that's a good word for all of us. And I'd like to talk about conversion therapy. Could you tell us, this is a hot topic, it's been in the news quite a bit. Tell us what conversion therapy is.
Conversion therapy is a myth. Conversion therapy, as defined by the proposed law for the state of Kentucky, I'm just going to read this. Conversion therapy means any practice or treatment that seeks to change an individual's sexual orientation or gender identity, including efforts to change behaviors or gender expressions, or to eliminate or reduce sexual romantic attractions or feelings towards individuals of the same gender. Conversion therapy encompasses the terms reparative therapy, aversion therapy, reorientation therapy, and sexual orientation change efforts. Now get this, conversion therapy does not include counseling that provides assistance to a person undergoing gender transition, counseling that provides acceptance, support, and understanding of a person or facilitates a person's coping, social support, and identity exploration and development, including sexual orientation neutral interventions to prevent or address unlawful conduct or unsafe practices. And then it goes on a little further with stuff. The basic thing that it's saying is, if I'm, and this bill is specifically designed to protect minors and vulnerable adults. So if I'm a teenage boy and I have unwanted same-sex attractions, if this bill is passed, I can't go to a like-minded Christian practitioner and get the help I want.
Daniel, let me jump in. I'm sorry to interrupt, but this sounds like it would directly impact your ministry at Albus Delight, would it not?
Well, not exactly directly impacting my ability to do ministry, because I'm not a licensed professional. I'm a lay counselor. I'm a minister. What it does affect, though, is my ability to recommend to the parents who have brought that said Christian teenage boy with unwanted same-sex attractions. It prevents me from being able to recommend to them a like-minded Christian therapist, because the state of Kentucky would have said he's not allowed to help that boy, or she's not allowed to help that boy. But if that same boy wants help to be comfortable about being gay, if he's questioning it, or if he wants help to transition from being a boy to a girl, you can get all kinds of counseling for that.
So Daniel, that bill, as you read it, that definition of conversion therapy, as you called it, is a myth, but it's really a one-way street. You cannot counsel. If you're a licensed therapist or a licensed counselor in Kentucky, you will not be allowed to counsel minor children in the state, those under 18, to leave their unwanted sexual attractions or same-sex attractions or gender identity issues that they're struggling with. However, if you choose to counsel somebody to go into a gender transition or to go into a same-sex relationship, the state is giving you carte blanche. They're saying, go ahead. You can do that.
Exactly.
So this is not a neutral bill, is it?
No, not at all. In fact, there are a lot of pastors who are bivocational. I know two of them personally who are also licensed clinical social workers. And the bill would prevent them from counseling as well. So they're saying, if you're a pastor, it's okay. You can talk to your congregant. But if that pastor happens to be bivocational and his other vocation is as a clinical psychologist or a clinical licensed social worker, can't happen.
Now, this bill that we're talking about has been proposed in the state legislature. It actually is gaining some momentum. It has picked up a number of more supporters this last session. Didn't pass, but it will come up again next year, next session. But with that said, closer to your home in the city of Louisville, the Metro Council just recently did pass a ban on conversion therapy.
Yes.
Was there a religious freedom exemption in that, or was it a very similar bill as to what we're discussing here that was proposed at the state level?
I believe it's pretty much what copied. I wouldn't say word for word, but I believe it's pretty much mirroring the one on the state level.
So if that is the case, then this does impact those bivocational ministers that you mentioned that might have be credentialed counselors and that do counsel young people out of same-sex attractions. So there's a religious freedom, religious liberty element here. I would say this infringes on religious freedom. Also, there's a free speech element here where counselors come to the table and come to their profession from different backgrounds, different worldviews, different religious convictions. And this law is restricting or cutting out at least some of the beliefs and some of the values that those counselors have. Do you know, were there many pastors or many people opposed to this bill when it did come up in front of the Louisville Metro Council? Did you track that at all?
I didn't. I was not able to attend. And the one person I knew who I had spoken with is a pastor. He's an attorney, and he's done work for the Alliance Defending Freedom in the past as an attorney. But he's not from Jefferson County. So he didn't feel like he had any standing to be able to address that. But he and I have talked at length about that. And I don't think there was much chance of it not passing because the Metro Council is so heavily liberal in its makeup.
Sure, I understand. There was a movie that came out a couple of years ago called Boy Erased, and it's about conversion therapy, a Christian couple that sent their kid through a particularly harmful type of aversion therapy. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that movie.
I did see the movie.
This was one of the things when I was watching the bill go through this being proposed this last legislative session, that movie was referenced a number of times. Actually, the lead sponsor in the state Senate was saying, watch the movie Boy Erased. And I have not seen it. I saw a trailer and I did read some of the commentary on it. But Daniel, what's your assessment of that movie? Was that a fair depiction of all conversion therapy?
No, I don't think it was fair at all. And, you know, let's not be fooled here. This is Hollywood who has produced this movie with big Hollywood stars. Hollywood is one of the most heavily LGBT populated industries in the country. You really think they're going to put forth something that's fair, balanced, or even truthful? I was actually shocked when I heard that that senator or state representative bring that up because I was there. And I don't want to say that people have not been hurt or have not had good experiences in counseling with their LGBT issues, but it's not uncommon to go to any therapist for any kind of thing and have to go through two or three therapists before you find the right one.
Yeah. By the way, that your description of how the LGBT community responds isn't very tolerant, is it?
No, it's, you know, it's anything but tolerant. And the fact is, you know, I have gay friends. I was just friend requested on Facebook this morning by a guy that's gay from Ohio. And it's not that I'm trying to shut down the gay population. It's not that I'm trying to silence the gay population. I don't even go and try and convert people who are gay. What I'm trying to do is be able to give Christians who have unwanted attractions and unwanted gender dysphoria an opportunity to live a life of holiness and purity that they believe God has called them to when they come to us in the first place.
Yeah.
And need help with that.
Daniel, what kind of success are you finding when you are able to counsel and develop relationships with those who are trying to leave their same-sex attractions or gender dysphoria? What kind of success is there? Because there are some who say, once gay, always gay, and you cannot change once you've embraced that lifestyle.
Well, I'm going to put the question back on you, Richard, and say, what do you mean by success?
How many are continuing to leave that lifestyle and they're embracing biblical standards for human sexuality?
I've been doing ministry now for 17 years. I know literally thousands of people who have successfully left a gay life, left a transgendered life. I know transgendered people who have even had their surgeries reversed so that they can go back living the life that God gave them in the first place. So the fact that you can't leave a gay existence is ludicrous. Now, I only know maybe 10 or 20 people at most whom God touched in a miraculous kind of way where they left their gay life or God called them out of a gay life and they have no lingering attractions. But for most people who have left, it's been a choice to leave because they wanted to follow the Lord instead. And they learn to overcome or learn to walk in holiness and purity, not giving in to the attractions. And you know, just because somebody has attractions still doesn't mean that their life hasn't changed. I've gone through all kinds of changes in my life. I've gone through all kinds of changes, and I still deal with attractions. That doesn't mean I'm gay. I don't identify as gay. Nobody can label me as gay because that's not who God made me to be.
Very good. I'm encouraged to hear, first of all, your personal story, and also that you're still, that's a constant, I don't want to say struggle, but you're aware of who you are now and who you used to be. But also the thousands you had mentioned that have actually left their LGBT identity and they're successfully embracing a heterosexual norm. Why aren't we hearing more of that? Why aren't we hearing, because we don't hear that today, that you can change, that people have successfully changed their orientation. But why aren't we hearing that?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons, because the mainstream media isn't going to talk about it. The mainstream media has bought the LGBTQ line, hook, line, and sinker. And you're not going to hear that from the mainstream media. I think another reason is because churches, for the most part, don't want to touch the issue. Now, there will be some who are quick to condemn homosexuality, But in the 17 years I've been doing ministry, Richard, the single most challenging thing I have found consistently in those 17 years is the ability to get into a church, talk about God's redemptive power in the homosexual's life, whether it be speaking at a church, at a church service, or talking to a Sunday school class, or doing a workshop or seminar, or even sitting down with the pastor is challenging. Just to be able to have a talk about my life, about what the ministry that we do is. Richard, there are over 150 organizations throughout the world who help people with unwanted same-sex attractions. Tens and tens of thousands of people who have walked away from a gay identity, walked away from a transgendered identity, they're out there.
Yeah. You'd mentioned the church. We're going to have to close here. We're just about out of time. But okay. You mentioned the church and some of the challenges there. Would you say, and I'd like to give you the last word, that if the perception of change, whether or not it's possible, and if just as far as people struggling with their sexual identities, if that this whole conversation is going to change, and if individuals are offered hope, where do you see the church fitting in to this? What role does the church have? And that's kind of a lot there.
Well, the fact is, Richard, if the church were doing its job, ministries like mine wouldn't be necessary. If the church were acting as a spiritual hospital the way it should be, where it was okay to talk about our secret sins, where it's okay to talk about our challenges, there are some things that are okay to talk about that are acceptable sin.
Yeah.
But when you start talking about homosexuality or transgender issues, or heaven forbid, somebody dealing with pedophilia, those attractions, if the church were doing its job, all of those people should be being taken care of, and there should be no stigma about talking about such things.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Daniel Mengele, it's been so good to have you on this program. I appreciate your insights. This has been a really good conversation. Hopefully we can do it again sometime.
I would love to, Richard. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless. Have a good day.
You too.